This episode of How to Save the World is sponsored by All Heart NZ, a registered charity dedicated to reducing, reusing, and redirecting corporate waste to help both the planet and Kiwi communities in need. Learn more about the amazing work they do at allheartnz.org.nz.
Hello and welcome back. Hopefully you've listened to other episodes. If you haven't, welcome to the first episode you've ever heard of
Your
How to Save the World.
Episode ever, if you have never listened before.
You, we are talking to you, new listener. This is How to Save the World, a podcast about how effed up the environment is, but importantly, what you specifically, we're talking to the same person, you listening, can do to affect some change in a positive direction on this.
Just any old change.
Good stuff.
But really deep, awesome, you can really win at this change.
How fun would it be to do a podcast series going, hey, the environment's screwed and here's how you can contribute. get a barrel of oil and pour it down your drain.
Find a dolphin and slit its throat.
Yeah, that's pretty metal. I am Tim Batt. I'm a comedian, so usually I'm the one joking about killing dolphins.
My name's Waveney, and I'm going to try and bring Dolphin in again later in the show.
Hopefully more positively, though.
Yeah, I'll see if I can do it. I'll set myself a challenge.
Nice. I love dolphins. That's why I don't eat tuna anymore.
I love dolphins too.
We all love dolphins. Today's episode is about greenwashing, which is a concept I don't know very much about, which is sort of the whole point of this podcast. I don't know much about anything. Luckily, we have Waveney.
So, greenwashing.
What is it?
Well, I ran this past my mother 10 mm-hmm. minutes ago. She said, oh, what's your episode going to be on? I said, greenwashing. And I said, Mum, do you actually know what that is? I asked her, have you heard of that term before? And she said, no. Does that surprise you?
Like, a little, but then again, I don't know how old your mum is or what she does with her time.
Not so much a comment on my mother, but to me, it's a term I've heard a lot. And I'm just not sure, is that me?
You don't know if it's the bubble you're in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I've heard of it, but I'm a little bit finely tuned now.
Yeah.
I think there'd be heaps of people who have never heard of it.
It's like, literally the idea of taking a thing that isn't green, and then rather than it actually being green, you're painting it green. So it looks green on the outside, so it could fool you because someone's just put this green paint, green wash over the top of it.
Green, you mean like
environment, yeah, environment. It's a what's that word?
Metaphor?
A metaphor for environmentally friendly.
So it's when we've got usually companies or some like NGOs maybe who are presenting and marketing to be way more environmentally friendly than they actually
Usually it's a term that's associated with for profits.
Gotcha.
Because that's their motivation. A really good way of thinking about it is a company that spends more time and money on green advertising and marketing than they actually do on environmentally sound practice.
That is a great litmus test.
Yeah, because it's not like things can't look green or be advertised as green, but it's like, what does this company actually really care about?
Gotcha.
Yeah. So one of my favorite examples would be barns, like the a barn where you might raise your chickens or whatever.
Sure.
They are just all over everything. I've noticed like on chips or
that's so true.
Chicken or whatever, there's pictures of little barns and grass
and fresh barnyard.
Yeah. So it's like that's a great example of like you just throw a barn in there. And it's almost subliminal because we're all so busy and you just run in and grab, oh, there's a barn, and you grab it. You just think, oh, maybe it's better for me than this one that doesn't have a picture of a barn on it. But so say if it's chicken, you're not really getting the sense that chicken's actually from a really cramped factory where it can't actually move freely or scratch or it needs antibiotics to keep healthy because you've just seen this.
It might
even say 100% natural or,
yeah.
Yeah.
What isn't 100% natural, though, you know?
Yeah. Well, so you can use that for anything.
Yeah, because if it exists, isn't it 100% natural, I guess? Unless it's like been some
new element.
It's just
such a vague, fluffy term. And we don't have any legislation on any of it. Like you can say something's 100% pure or clean or... the other day I was in the supermarket car park and... I saw this van pull up next to me and it was said Eco Lawn on it, on the side of it. That was the name of the business. And I was like instantly interested.
Did you sniff some greenwashing going on?
Well, my very first, because I grew up with parents that would never lie to me, never believed in Santa or anything like that. And so my instant reaction is always belief, naive belief. And so I had these few moments of running through my head, what is an eco lawn? Wow, I can't believe someone's making money out of it. They must be planting like dandelions and clover and... Well, they're supporting microorganisms and like, wow, I can't believe someone's actually making, who would want to plant their lawn out and all of these things? This is so exciting. And then I realized it's actually just a plain old AstroTurf company, and they've called themselves Eco Lawn.
So it's not even lawn.
It's not even lawn.
They should call themselves plastic flooring.
It's literally covering an environment, a surface that could have supported life.
Man.
With plastic. Which
okay,
is
well, that's
just
a good extreme
yeah, it's
example.
It's a really extreme example, yeah.
So
yeah.
Why is greenwashing a big deal? Should we be worried about this? Is this something we should be concerned about at all?
Well, Tim, I do think it's a big deal because partly because it's so widespread. And then because it's so widespread, it ends up reducing... Well, like, you know, if you think about it from your perspective, you're sort of getting into this and you're probably the person at the supermarket kind of
susceptible,
just trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. And if you smell the rat and if you go, hang on a minute, all this stuff, you know, everything just looks green. And how do I know?
Yeah.
Like, and then you're going, I actually literally don't know. That really diminishes your confidence, like as a consumer to even try and make some right,
right
choices.
So if everyone's kind of flooding the market with marketing themselves as being eco-friendly and there's one company out of the eight toothpastes
exactly,
who
yeah.
are actually,
yeah.
they just get lost in a sea
of
BS.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
Yeah. So the good guys are getting lost and then it not only does it sort of reduce your confidence, it actually genuinely reduces your difference, your ability to make a difference as well.
Mm.
Like, because that's what this show's all about. Like the power that we have, the genuine power we have as consumers.
Mm.
And if we can't see the forest for the trees with all of the crazy
eco
messaging.
Eco-lawn
that's
taken over the floor of the forest.
That's right. I think we just give up, and I think that's actually where a lot of consumers actually are. And the other thing, of course, is that it's supporting, oddly enough, like if you're now buying a product just because it says 100% natural on it or whatever, maybe even just that it's green, it's coloured green or something, you could actually be supporting a company to continue to harm the environment. So, yeah, and I think it's, I don't think we realise the extent of it.
Really?
I don't think so. Like, unfortunately, just the way we make stuff now is pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, unless it's, unless someone has tried really hard right from the beginning to work out how they can do something sustainably, they're probably using, well, depending on what they're making or what they're doing, plastic packaging, bleach, hormones, pesticides, herbicides. Yeah.
Would I be right in saying that it's very easy to pull off greenwashing at the moment? Because it feels like a lot of people are sort of in the situation I'm at where they want to make some sort of positive change in their buying habits, but don't know very much, are kind of new to the game, well-intentioned but ill-informed. And so, like, I feel us group of consumers would be the most susceptible to this sort of stuff. So people could be pulling it off quite easily.
I think that's exactly what's happening. It is. It's super easy at the moment. It's actually just sort of perfect storm where you've got this, apparently it's now 9 out of 10 New Zealanders that say that they're moderately or highly committed to living sustainable lifestyles.
Wow.
Huge, eh?
It sounds like... Sounds a little high.
It's
I want to get the swear words out of this podcast, but know that I was thinking it. It sounds like bull pucky.
That's I saw you pursing your lips. I could tell it was coming. It's coming. That is what people are self-reporting.
Yeah,
which is bull pucky.
Yeah,
we all like the idea of it, but that's exactly where the greenwashing comes in. Is that we're saying that we're committed. and that we basically want to be committed. I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. But actually, then this is the flip side. 7 out of 10 of us are unable to name. I'm going to try this on you.
Okay, cool.
Unable to name a brand which is a leader in sustainability.
I can only name this mainly through you, but EcoStore?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
That's actually the number one that people mention. Like, out of these 9 out of 10 New Zealanders that say they're moderately or highly committed to living sustainable lifestyles, what percentage of people do you think were able to name EcoStore as a leader in sustainable?
I don't know, 2?
It was actually 5%. So 5%.
5% or 5 people?
5%.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. One half of one of the 10 people.
Yeah. And then interestingly, the next most mentioned company when people were asked was Fonterra. 3% of people named Fonterra as a leader in sustainability.
Now, knowing what you know, Waveney, would you agree with New Zealand's assessment that Fonterra are a leading organisation in sustainability?
I would not have. They wouldn't have been the first that came to mind, Tim.
Why is that?
I guess in terms of an example of companies and the just how important it is to everybody these days to appear to be green and to be making some genuine contribution too. I'm not saying that it's all smokes and mirrors at all. But this is a great example of a company that's really worked out how important it is to us all. So I went onto their website and they're very prominently, their values is 5 values, and it says what we stand for. And the very first one is the environment. Then it's nutrition, then sustainability, community, and trusted goodness.
Profit's not in there, I notice.
No, I would have thought you would, exactly. Like, I mean, that's fair enough, right? Like,
I guess
but all, let's... You know, we're all here to make some money, and that's, you don't have to beat around the bush. But
don't pee in my pocket and tell me it's raining, though. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
like, if you say these are your core values as an organization, if you're saying it's
what you stand for, would say... You know, like some of those companies we rattled off before, that's their core business.
I guess no one's going to say making money, though. I don't want to call
out
Fonterra.
Yeah, to be
Fonterra.
Fair.
No one's going
to
slap that on their website. We're here to make bucks. And then after that,
it goes without saying. You're right. Let's give them credit. Where credit is due. And they've got a really good Living Waters program, which I'd heard about before, which is when they're basically supporting farmers to fence off their properties and plant trees so that they can really help restore the waterways. And there's quite a lot of traction there. And they're supporting farmers to share their knowledge and really supporting anyone who wants to sort of go above like minimum standards and really looking at focusing on best practice. So they're doing some great stuff. The reason they wouldn't come to mind is just because of the core business and what, like, and that's a really great way, I guess it's a good lens to run something through. It's like, is the core business in itself sustainable, or is it just that a company's able to do some great additional stuff with the profit that they're making? Mm. You know, it's great, of course, to do some great additional stuff. But
sure.
I think like with dairying, it's pretty intensive farming, and a lot of it comes down to nitrates, which I won't get too into, but basically there's kind of a nitrogen loop that you want to essentially, you want to have that closed so that you're not having to pour nitrogen onto your property, which would be for most people that would be aerial spraying of superphosphate, and then you don't want it leaking out of your property either, which would be again on your average dairy farm a lot of the wee from the cows going into the waterways.
Can I take a run at my, because I've never really looked into this. I just hear the word nitrates a lot. Tell me if this is roughly right.
Okay.
Nitrates are used to help grow the feed.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Like really well.
Yeah.
So, but then you do not want all of that high nitrate matter going into the water because then it becomes sort of poisonous to the fish life and the...
Yeah, exactly. It's like a super super growing machine.
Fertilizer.
Yeah, it's a fertilizer. So, and that's where it's same with human wee as well. It's like anything that's really high and nitrogen will produce growth, and in the wrong place, it's pollution. So in our streams, it will clog up streams and change the whole water quality of it, clog it up with plants growing that shouldn't be there.
And like algae blooms and things like that?
It's pushing my my knowledge. We need to get Dr. Mike Joy in.
We will.
Yeah. So... Yeah,
I don't know who that is. I assume he's a marine biologist.
He's a freshwater ecologist.
Cool.
Yeah. And he was the guy last election who like basically single-handedly made the quality of our waters an election issue that
Amazing.
People were actually thinking about and realising that. So he has said that, or you know, through his studies he's done, that 3/4 of our freshwater fish are threatened right now.
Whoa.
And that there's a correlation between that and the way we farm. Like it's in the agricultural areas that the streams are degraded. So he's saying that there's really clear links between that and farming, basically. And if you look at the difference between, say, a sheep farm and a dairy farm, it's the dairy farms that have got the highest need to be putting the nitrates on.
Mm.
So it's not farming per se at all. There are actually regenerative. I remember having issues with that word in a previous episode. Oh my gosh. So yeah, there are better ways of farming, which we must cover. But
But back to the greenwashing thing. How would I, the uninitiated, even be able to like detect that I was being greenwashed? That I was being targeted by some company, presumably some organization that was not as green as it was making out to be.
Your starting point when you're buying anything, I think, is to realize that you're swimming with sharks. And
be alert. If you're in the supermarket, have a couple coffees before you go in. You want to have wide eyes and a lot of questions.
And some of the sharks were pretending to be dolphins.
Yeah, you have brought it back to the dolphins. Well done. Nice one.
Dolphins. But yeah, it is kind of like that. Rather than assuming there's a whole bunch of dolphins, it's like turning it around and going, well, unless I really know and trust this brand, chances are that there could be a bit of greenwashing going on. So I was thinking, in terms of answering your question, I reckon there's two kind of approaches. One is if you're actually in the supermarket,
mm-hmm.
and the other is if you've got a bit of time and you can research something.
Let's pretend I've got a bit of time.
Okay.
Let's go into that.
So let's say you're on your computer, and I have felt in the past I need a PhD to sort all this stuff out.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, this is the problem, right?
Yeah, it's like
this
brand by brand or whatever, and then you start getting into supply chains and blah, blah, blah. So I was thinking, what if you just try and find one brand, like one sort of big brand that's kind of an umbrella.
That does a lot of different products.
Does a lot of different things, or a certification that you can trust. And I'm happy to rattle off a few that I trust, but it's also like giving people
the companies. What kind of certification should we be looking for?
Well, in New Zealand, I would be trusting Fair Trade, which we covered off.
Yes.
There's an organic certification and there's a BioGrow, which is kind of the same, similar thing. So that, and that's actually all to do with food. There is also a...
What's BioGrow, just quickly? I haven't heard of that one.
It's a certification in terms of the context of this, but it's going into the way that they farm.
Right.
So there's organic farming practices, and there's BioGrow, and there's permaculture, and there's all sorts of just sort of different ways of farming in terms of being sustainable. So it's just one of those options.
Is BioGrow when they use like different... like they use natural kind of ways of sorting out weeds and that kind of stuff. Like they'll grow some plant to take care of a weed instead of using a pesticide to get rid of it.
Yep.
That sort of concept.
Yep. They're all like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. They've just got different emphases and different methods and philosophies, I guess. Yeah.
BioGrow, what was the other one again? Organic.
Just organic. Certified. Yep, certified organic.
And not, that's real. You can trust that one.
Absolutely. If it's organic. Yeah, that's right. And it's like, because I didn't realise, and I think we've talked about this before, how I thought that the word organic in New Zealand already was a national standard. So if it had the word, like if it said organic peas or whatever that you could trust that that actually was farmed organically, but apparently not. But the good news is that they are working on it right now. Right. They've decided that actually this is a word, like unlike natural, which will just always be fluffy and it's too hard to tie down, that they're saying, no, let's actually make organic so that nobody can use it, even if it's not certified, but it's just going to be an adjective that you won't be able to use unless it genuinely is organic. So that's cool. And then for clothes, there is a really, really good app called Good On You. And that
sounds New Zealandish. Yeah. Is it a Kiwi
app? I think it's Aussie and Kiwi. They've expanded it to fit the New Zealand market. And yeah, that's for clothing. And that is really good. Really good. They're genuine. And they've actually come initially from the social justice side of things and kind of incorporating the sustainability in with that too.
What a bunch of legends.
Totally.
What is it called? Good On You. That makes sense. Clothing.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
I feel like you're smarter than me, Tim. I didn't.
I'm just picking apart these names.
No, it's very good. Yeah, so if you've got a bit of time, definitely maybe think of something that you'd like to crack, because it does take time.
This is the thing. I've got a theory about this, right? Because your shopping list doesn't actually change that much. We are all creatures of habit, and generally you're either like, if you've got no kids, you're buying for either just yourself or you and your partner every week, make your dinners, make your breakfast, make your lunch. If you've got kids, you've got a set number of kids. But generally, you're buying roughly the same amount of groceries every week or fortnight. And so if you can just like find a brand to replace the... Because you've probably already got a brand.
Exactly. Of the stuff you get an automatic week. Thing you're grabbing anyway.
Yeah. So if you can just do like a one-off, maybe a couple hours research on a computer one time.
Yeah.
And then just reform your shopping list.
Yeah.
And do some deep dives into the companies and stuff that you can spot your products out for.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you don't have to think about it ever again.
Exactly.
That's what I want.
Which is kind of what I've done too. I remember doing some initial research years ago, and now I've got my go-to brands. And I know that there's others out there, and I don't even, like, this comes through on the show, so I don't reference them because I haven't, but once I found one that I love and agree with,
this
then
is the challenge.
It's always top of mind, yeah.
This is the challenge these companies have. But it's such an unrealistic expectation to think that every time someone's going to go to the supermarket, they're going to, like, do a bunch of research for
it. Exactly. So, and I think I actually think there's huge power in just doing it once and just so long as it's, or even if it's not, but ideally if it's a brand or something that you can, it's more than one product. Like obviously EcoStore is a good example of that. The other one is if you are going to delve into some of these companies to try and work out what's what, you'll find yourself on their website, and they do have, they understand, everybody understands that people are looking for...
I might get greenwashed again.
Yeah, well, I actually, when I was researching for the show, I could feel it happening.
Right.
Like these, some companies that, I'm not a big fan of, and you're looking through all and going, wow, oh, they really are doing some great stuff. So it's actually...
But you know this to be untrue.
It's just, well, it's not that the stuff they're doing in itself isn't great. Like I say, if they've got, all this profit and they're pouring some of it into some great initiatives. It's just, I actually think this is what we as Westerners, we fall for all the time, because we're not holistic thinkers.
Yeah.
And it's just, that's true. The issue. We just go, oh, look, they've done a great thing. They've started a school.
Yeah.
And we're not going, but holistically, what side of the balance sheet are we on?
Corporate responsibility, man. It's kind of a scourge in some ways, because it means these big, nasty companies can just sort of pay a little bit of money to create a couple projects, start a scholarship or something, and it absolves them of guilt.
Go high profile and...
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you are on someone's website and you find yourself on the social responsibility or the environmentally sustainable page or whatever, and you're reading all of this stuff, there are a few things you can look out for to spot greenwashing when you see it. And one of the classic ones is that if you can't understand what they're saying, it's probably greenwashing.
True.
So like I went to BP, right? Because I've got a lovely green logo for a start, and they're a big oil company, and I know that they've been trying to sell themselves as being green. And
for
I knew that they would have a sustainability page, and I checked it out, and it's hilarious.
BP are like, of all the oil companies, they seem like they've tried to market themselves as the one who were ahead of everyone else in terms of looking at environmentally sustainable practices. Because I remember years ago they spent heaps on a big campaign, I think about like researching ethanol.
Uh-huh.
For ethanol fueled vehicles.
Yeah.
They've always tried to, I think, they've like picked that market segment as being to get like, out there. We're going to be the ones who are the green.
And their rebrand, like that logo is just, it almost looks like a lotus or something. Mm. It's so beautiful and green.
Yeah.
Yeah, peaceful. So this is not even from the BP New Zealand. This is like the mothership.
Yeah.
Their international. This is the best they could do, right? I'm going to read it out. So if you can't understand it, it's probably greenwashing. They say, the world needs more energy but produced and used in cleaner, better ways. Fair enough.
I'm with them so far.
This is reflected in our strategy to grow, advantaged oil and gas in the upstream, market-led growth in the downstream, pursuing local carbon growth opportunities and modernising the group.
Okay.
It also informs how we work.
Yeah, okay. This is kind of, they've not really said anything there, I feel.
I don't feel
I'm only familiar with those terms upstream and downstream because I read a huge book about the history of ExxonMobil one time called Hidden Empire, and it is terrifying, by the way.
What? What? Tell me.
I can't remember now. It refers to like the different, so, shoot, how does it go? I might get this backwards, but one of them is basically from like the petrol station down.
Mm.
I think there might be upstream. No, upstream's probably got to be extraction.
Upstream's got to be, yeah.
Like getting it out of the earth and all those big heavy operations. And then downstream, I think, is like the sort of retail, like part of the company,
yeah.
I think. So, but it's weird that they're using that on their public-facing website because it's jargon.
But I don't even understand it. Like,
well,
even if you did,
anything.
This is reflected in our strategy to grow advantaged oil and gas in the upstream.
Yeah, that isn't a sentence that seems to make grammatical sense to me. They've used the word advantage very
like what,
strangely.
What has that got to do with sustainability? So it's like,
and another thing is they hit like okay, so I feel like the student is becoming the teacher now. They haven't tied themselves to any targets or certification.
No, yeah, they haven't.
So just very like wishy-washy.
Yeah, it's really vague. It's real fluffy. And so that's basically it. It's like we can use this one sentence to like pick out all of the warning signs. It's like if you can't understand it, if there's no detail, like no numbers or classic would be if people have got like a company's got some sort of a range or a project or something, you know, that is sustainable or that, and they're saying, oh, look, we're doing this. It's like, have they said what percentage this is of the whole?
Yeah.
And EcoStore do that on their website with their palm oil stuff.
They hold themselves to targets.
It's an actual percentage and it's not fluffy. You can see where they're tracking with it. And it's just much easier to understand versus like if there's a big difference between saying we're trying to reduce our impact,
yes,
versus we are doing X, Y, Z to reduce our impact.
Yeah,
yeah. And
were there any pictures of Barnes on BP's sustainability portion of their website?
No. What did they have? Grass, I think.
Probably windmills, which has nothing to do with their core business whatsoever.
This episode of How to Save the World is sponsored by All Heart NZ, the charitable trust helping Kiwi corporates be more responsible with their stuff. Businesses are sending way too much stuff to landfill because they don't know what to do with it. That's where All Heart NZ come in, redirecting perfectly usable stuff like computers, kitchenware and more straight into the hands of communities who really appreciate it. They also work with experts to redesign and upcycle materials that are usually a pain in the butt to deal with, like MDF and industrial plastic. That's just one way.
Actually, that's two ways.
That's just two ways that All Heart NZ is helping improve Aotearoa and planet Earth. Learn more at allheartnz.org.nz.
So did we cover if I don't have time, what to
look
out
right.
for?
Yeah, right, no, we didn't. Let's go back to that. So
I'm in the supermarket.
Yeah, you're standing in the supermarket.
Here.
Yep.
I don't want to be greenwashed. I'm in the supermarket. I haven't been on my computer for 2 hours checking what brands to swap out my shopping list for.
You've got a life.
I got a life. I'm stressed.
You're standing
in front
of
my ass.
You're standing in front of the milk. No, you're not. You're a vegan. It's a bad example.
This doesn't have to be exactly me. Okay. This can be like the listener.
All right. You're standing in front of the milk.
Mm-hmm.
And one says, you're looking at the organic one because you've just been listening to this podcast. So
yes.
You're like, oh, yeah, maybe I should buy the organic one.
Yeah.
But it's a bit pricey.
Yeah, it is.
And then you're standing and looking at another brand and it says 100% pure natural milk. And it's got pictures of cows and grass in a barn.
A barn.
A barn. Yeah, a barn.
I've been warned against these.
Yeah. So what do you do? Well, what do you do?
I look for stamps. Look for the certifications?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to go. With milk, I know that there are organic brands. There's a couple, like Lewis Road.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's 100% of the range, but you look for the word anyway.
If Lewis Road have got organic on there, we can trust that.
Yep, absolutely. Puhoi Valley, mm-hmm. They're good. Naturally,
mm-hmm.
Kapiti. And there's a couple of other little ones like Green Valley and Jersey Girl, I think.
True. And if they say organic on there, we can
trust
that those practices are
small
organic
enough market,
as well.
Yep.
But again, it's that I guess it's like just because the milk is organic, you know, it's still dairy, isn't it? It's still part of that whole system.
Well,
that's
where we get back to can we trust certain farming practices?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like how, it's sort of like how far do you want to go,
that's,
you know, as a consumer
with
your commitment to trying to sort these things out as well.
Yeah. And I think we're getting, I mean, in the case of milk, we actually do have some good options.
Yeah.
But with so much, you're just standing there, like whether it's a moisturizer or packet of chips or whatever, and we're just getting so confused.
Yeah
And I think it's actually partly we're getting fooled because we don't actually know what sustainability looks like.
Sure.
Like and actually, and the other thing is, I think we were talking last episode about, it's actually, even if we did know, it's really hard to see what's going on, to have that visibility. So
from end to end.
And the other thing that doesn't help is that we do actually, like, even I genuinely want it to be fast and easy and almost feel like it's this injustice that it isn't, and that you've got to research it or actually like stop and engage. And I think if you're looking for a quick fix, you're out of luck, actually.
What the hell? This is the whole point of this podcast, though.
Sure. There's some things you can do, but no, it's like, this is multi-million dollar multinational marketing campaigns. They're so slick. And we actually do, like, we say that we care. Like, go back to that 9 out of 10 statistic. We say that we care, but I think it kind of comes down to, we're really not as willing as we think we are to just stop and pay this the attention that it's due.
Sure.
Like, if
we've got other stuff going on. I get that. I understand that. But if you can do it one time with your shopping list, it feels like a good thing.
Yeah, so that's going back to that idea of researching it and sort of doing that, which is awesome.
I feel like you personally as well, off the back of your zero waste journey, you've kind of got a good common sense way of looking at this, where looking for the words and the labels and stuff, and like organic is really great, but if you know, ultimately, if you keep buying a plastic 1 liter non-biodegradable bottle of milk all the time, like, you do need to consider that that's waste that's going somewhere.
That's right.
Which is probably either a landfill or we're shipping it to some other country to deal with. And it's also, you know, this was part of my reason for going vegan, is it's like, you can try and buy the very best milk, but even if you get the most ecologically friendly version of it, it's still within the system. And maybe you are in a position to sort of leapfrog the whole thing and go, well, the whole kind of milk dairy industry is pretty bad, so maybe I just exit out of that.
Yeah,
it's just where you want to like peg yourself in terms of how far you want to go a little bit.
And every little step that we all take is awesome because it takes the market with us as we go.
And if you're effing lazy, and maybe this could be our like hot tip, and I feel like it has been before as well, if you just want to do one little thing, get organic. Would that be
absolutely
a good, get
it
a
is,
certified?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, go for organic. And this is, I mean, this has come up again and again, which I actually really like, because it knits together all these different things, regardless of what the particular issue is that we're looking at. It's the same stuff. So it's buy less. It's buy local, try and buy it without the packaging, which says so much about what the product does if it doesn't come in plastic.
That's a good point. You know who can't greenwash? Your farmer's market, exactly. Generally, on a Sunday afternoon, you selling can your
only,
rhubarb.
You can only greenwash if you've got packaging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bypass the whole thing if you can.
Yeah.
And so, and if you can dedicate a little bit of time, you actually can sort of pull yourself out of this greenwashing thing. Are there any like online communities that you know of that sort of vet these companies that you use yourself?
The Zero Waste in New Zealand Facebook page is quite good. They're focusing on the packaging, but like I said, it all goes together. And it's not always the case, but often if you can buy something without the packaging, it's generally better for the environment. So they're quite good. And then we already talked about that app for the clothing. Good on you.
Good on you.
As you pointed out.
Great name.
Literally on you. And our rubbish-free website, our website, that actually is all right too.
What's that website?
Rubbishfree.co.nz. It's got about 50 articles all on different items that you can buy, whether it's dental floss or fruit and veg or whatever.
That's cool.
Yeah, so there's quite a good – again, it focuses on waste. That's me coming in with my waste bias, but it's like a lot of these things, it's taking the time and it talks you through, do you really need it? Mm. Could you make it? Could you fix it?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of the ugly question. Like I really do feel like I'm torn between wanting to give people a quick fix.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to have misled you. But I'm torn between that and the reality that yes, there are some sort of quick, easy things we can do, but we have to engage with it on a deep level.
Yeah, this is the thing. It's a big problem. It's not going to be able to be solved sacrifice free. There's some things that are going to need to happen. That can either be your time, or you might have to spend a little bit more if you can, or change the kind of products that you're buying or the type of food that you're eating, the diet that you're currently engaged in.
And just realizing, like, just reconnecting again with what's at stake. I feel like we can emotionally connect with the issues when we see, you know, stuff on YouTube or whatever with the polar bears. And
that's obviously true, because otherwise these companies wouldn't be playing on their emotional response, which is what the whole greenwashing thing is doing.
Yeah, true. It's like, yeah, that's right. We are emotionally connected to this issue. It's really real for us and we get it. We understand the issues, but there's still a disconnect when we're standing in the supermarket. Almost like, I'm speaking for myself, it can't help but feel like almost like a child or a teenager kind of going, oh, somebody should be taking care of this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, come on, grow up. Like, where's, like, this is my planet. I'm a consumer.
Grow
it's like,
up, it's not listener.
That it's not that it's the government's fault or the business's fault. I mean, sure, you can say, yes, of course, all of these players have all got a lot to do with it. But it's just so important for us to sort of absolve our little bit of responsibility in it when actually we're so key to how it all goes around.
I like that. Take some goddamn responsibility on, dear listener. You already have, obviously, otherwise you wouldn't be listening.
Yeah, they would not have put up with us.
But get other people too as well. That's good. I like that. It's not all going to be quick fixes, but some quick fixes definitely are. Look for companies that are holding themselves to measurable standards of either reductions or something solid and concrete rather than airy-fairy language and a weird use of the word advantage. Look for certification that you can trust.
Yes. Yes.
Which is often in the products and foods, we're looking for certified organic or in New Zealand certified bio grow.
Yes, it's good, Tim.
And have a think. Just think about it.
Stop and engage.
Have a think.
Totally.
Fantastic. Well, I feel like I understand the issue of greenwashing a lot more than I did before, which is very good. And it's quite freaky because I don't like this insidious fact that they're using our good intentions against us, which is what the whole thing is doing through marketing. So let's bloody wipe it out.
Let's just stop it.
Stop it, companies. Right. Anything else to add?
Let me think. Oh, the only other online, you asked about online resources, yeah, and things like that. For like all of your beauty care products and washing, laundry, all those sorts of things that end up going down the drain. I hate to go back to it again, but EcoStore have a really good ingredient index.
Oh.
So that if you can.
Is that like a number?
No, it's you can read. You know how on the back of your, say, conditioner bottle or whatever, it will have a whole list of ingredients, and yeah, you can't understand what any of them mean. You can go through their index and find that particular chemical compound, and it will. It's a traffic light system. It will tell you based on. They've compiled all of the research from all over the world, looking at the health effects as well as the environmental effects, and tell you whether it's a green light, kind of an orange light with a few concerns, or a red light.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's really good too.
Good shortcut. So you use that one while you take your 2 hours out to change your shopping list.
That's right.
That's the one. Cool. Thanks very much for listening.
Yay. See ya.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks again to our sponsor, All Heart NZ, who are improving the planet and the lives of Kiwis through reducing, reusing and redirecting corporate waste. Check them out at allheartnz.org.nz.